You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
All right, welcome to The Christian Commute. It's Wednesday, August 18th, and it's your promised afternoon show on the way home. And I'm mid-commute because my boss called me to talk about something. So it's not going to be a full show. It's just going to be the Bible chapter review in the inbox. I don't have time because of that 10-minute or 5-minute conversation I had with my boss. I don't have time to do justice to the show topic. So, once again, a very interesting show topic about restorationist religions, Adventism, apologetics, kicked down the road. And I also want to give a commentary on what a great day I've had from just a standpoint of the work I do, say, on this show or on Pulpit and Pen, even though I hardly write there anymore. And I guess I'll have to bring that up at another time. But it's a great day to be an apologist slash polemicist slash theologian named Seth Dunn from that standpoint. But okay, let's get down into the show proper. I have a question in the inbox. Evan, I don't think he's ever written in before. I think he's talking about racial oppression. We'll see. I hope I can do it justice. And then we have the Bible chapter review. As always, we are still in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37. Jesus is continuing the Sermon on the Mount. He just got done talking about marriage and adultery. Now he's going to talk about making vows. And I think this logically flows because when you're married, you're making a commitment. You don't know what's going to happen in the future, but you're making a commitment to that person. And when you take your marriage seriously and you think of marriage biblically, you're thinking to myself, when you said I do, my yes is yes and my no is no. I decided to marry this person. I do, I will. So now Jesus is talking about other commitments. He says, again, you have heard the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but fulfill your vows to the Lord. That's in all caps because it's a reference to the Old Testament. And he's talking about Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They all talk about that. Same thing for what we talked about earlier today in the previous show. You've heard it said, grant your wife a certificate of divorce. That was in all caps. It's going to the Old Testament. You have heard it said, you shall not make false vows, but fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you. Now Jesus is about to be even harder or more specific about what it is to make a vow. But I say to you, take no oath at all, neither by heaven, for it is the throne of God, neither by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, neither by Jerusalem, for it, Psalm 48, is the city of the great king. Nor shall you take an oath by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black, but make sure your statement is yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is of evil origin. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. So as we did earlier today, we have to go back into the ancient culture, into their context, into what they were doing at the time. So people would make vows. You could call these contractual promises. They're telling somebody they're going to do something. And they would want to swear by something higher than themselves. Let's say, I swear by heaven, I will fulfill this vow. Or they'd swear, I swear by Jerusalem, the holy city, that I will fulfill this vow. Or I swear on my own life, I will fulfill this vow. Sometimes you'll hear people say like now, I swear on my mother's grave, or I swear on my kid's life, I'm telling you the truth. Like they're appealing to something, like I'm telling you the truth here. I'm swearing by this higher or important thing. And then sometimes they'd break those vows. So, well, you know I swore by the city of Jerusalem, but something greater, like God led me to break the vow. So they'd swear by something high, but not ultimately high. But here Jesus is saying this. He's like, you want to swear by heaven? How dare you swear by heaven? That's the throne of God. What business do you have swearing by that? You want to swear by earth? That's God's footstool. And here's another occasion where we don't take the Bible literally. Because God doesn't have feet. God is spirit. God doesn't have a body. At least God the Father doesn't. Jesus has a body in the incarnation. And he's God. And Jesus knew that when he said this, that God didn't have feet. But he's speaking figuratively, where heaven is the throne of God and earth is his footstool. Heaven and earth are of importance to God. Don't swear by them. Don't swear by the city of Jerusalem. It's the city of the great king. That's the city of David. You're not David. Don't swear by his city. And don't even swear by your own head. You think you control yourself? Jesus says, you can't make a single hair white or black. Now, back then, they didn't have just for men. And I'm going to tell you this, guys. This is a radio program. You'd never see. I'm starting to get some gray hair in my sideburns. And it might be time for me to get the just for men. Not yet. I think I'm going to do the just for men, touch of gray. Old enough to know how to do it, and young enough looking where it looks like you still can. That's what they say. But I'm just kidding. I'm probably never going to get just for men. But your hair turns white or gray. You can't do anything about it. You don't even control the color of your own hair. You're going to swear by your head. And you don't control it. You're making these vows saying, buy this, buy that. Jesus is saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Say, yes, I will do that. No, I will not do that. That's what it is to be trustworthy. If you're a trustworthy person, you don't have to, oh, I swear on my kid's life. Think about somebody who trusts you in church, like just a member of your church. And they've loaned you, they loaned you $50. And you're supposed to pay them back. I'll pay you back next week. I'm going to get paid next week and I'll definitely pay you back. Okay. Okay. Sure. Because if you're a Christian and they're a Christian, you're in church together, they trust you. You know, I swear on my kid's life, I'll pay you back. You don't have to say that. Why? Because they trust your Christian character. You want to be somebody who's of such Christian character, yeah, I'm going to do it. Or I'll take your word for it. You don't have to swear by all these things and make a show of it. And you go back to what Jesus said. You've heard it. The ancients were told, yeah, you grant them a certificate of divorce. When you swear by something, that's like you're out. Oh, I swore by this. And something greater has caused me not to fulfill this vow. See, I didn't make a false vow. Something higher came along. See? More letter of the law, not spirit of the law type stuff. Jesus is saying, just be a trustworthy, honest person. That's what virtue is. That's what Christian virtue and kingdom virtue is being an honest person. Yes, yes, no, no. Not a bunch of histrionics, not a bunch of show. Never looking for a way out. People know you're going to try to do the right thing and not look for what? A way out. And I'll go back to yesterday's show, this morning's show. You're not looking for a way out of your marriage. You're going to stick to it. Well, I guess I could get divorced under these grounds and marry this other person. It's a way out. Check all the boxes. No, man. It's not about what we commonly call legalism, like would check the box Christianity. It's, no, make a bigger box. Oh, thank you. This person flashed their lights to let me know I could get over. Thank you very much. We're both trapped behind. Guess what color car? White. Guess from what state? Florida. See, it doesn't matter if I don't record the Christian commute on the road for a month. every time, it never fails, I will get behind some snowbird in a white car from Florida. It is a Lincoln MKZ, and it's more cream colored than white, but still, it fits the profile of the slow drivers. I'm trying to make my son's birthday party here, and I can't because of these slow drivers really stuck. I would have had time for that show topic. By the way, just to end the Bible chapter review, anything beyond this is from the evil. Well, this says anything beyond this is from evil origin. Origin is in italics. It's not in the text. Whatever Bible translations I've read in the past, anything beyond this is from the evil one, like it's demonic or satanic. So I don't know if he's saying anything beyond this is from the personification of evil in a figurative sense. Anything beyond this is from the devil, the evil one, or just anything beyond this is evil. But one, two, or three, what? Pick door number one, door number two, door number three. You get the donkey, the booby prize between whichever one you pick. All right. It's evil to go beyond just letting your yes be yes and your no be no. And guys, this is one of the primary verses that I use when I talk about Freemasonry with people. And I say, I know you had to make these vows, and you had to what? Swear by something on the earth. You had to swear by your own head and your own body that you were going to do something. You had to disobey Jesus in order to swear your way into the Masonic Lodge. And this is like the step one thing that I use with Masons. And I don't have to get into the Illuminati and the 33-degree goat head Satan Albert Pike conspiracy. There's so many conspiracy theories about Freemasonry. I don't have to get into that. I don't have to cite people, these weird YouTube videos. I just have to say, you said this in your obligation. If I ever tell anybody the secrets of Freemasonry, may I be hung or thrown out in the river, etc., etc. You swore by something here on earth, whether it be your body or the earth itself or something happening. You that club, that fraternity, that religion doesn't even trust you to let your yes be yes and your no be no. How can it be good if in step one, degree number one, you have to disobey Jesus to join it? Freemasonry, sin in the first degree. You guys hear me talk about Freemasonry a lot, and that's one of the verses I use. Let's transition to today's question. Today's question comes from Evan in Cherokee County. Evan in Cherokee County, where Satan has his throne. So, Seth, that's Pergamum where Satan has his throne. No, Cherokee County is where Andy Stanley has Woodstock City Church. All right. So, making a little parallel there. And this is Evan's question. Do you think black people are oppressed in any way? Why or why not? Absolutely, yes, black people are oppressed. There's all kinds of oppressed black people. Remember a couple of years ago when there was that whole social media campaign against the Lord's Liberation Army? That guy, was it in like Liberia or somewhere? Somewhere in Africa, I forget the guy's name. It was Charles something, and he would take children from their home and turn them into drug-addicted child soldiers and then attack villages and terrorize people. And you think they're like, think of some of these Muslim countries, Muslim-dominated countries in Africa, like Sudan, where people aren't allowed to worship freely. Guys, do you remember the Hutus and the Tutsis? Hotel Rwanda, remember that? Was it the Hutus who attacked the Tutsis or the Tutsis who attacked the Hutus? I don't remember. But yeah, whatever it was like a long time ago. The Tutsis attacked the Hutus. And then in Hotel Rwanda, starring Don Cheadle, the Tutsis attacked the Hutus or vice versa. So both of them had attacked each other at one time and oppressed one another. So are black people oppressed? Heck yeah, there's black people oppressed all over the place. But You see me talking about this African oppression, Evan? Who's oppressing them? Other black people. Are black people oppressed in the United States? Maybe not in Cherokee County, where you're from, where there's a mega church across the street from the Costco in the super rich area where you're from, Evan. But maybe in the streets of Chicago or Baltimore in the ghetto, where people live in government housing and they're terrified to go out in the street because of drive-by shootings and drug dealers and extortionists and things. So yes, absolutely, black people are oppressed. But here's the thing. Is it because of their skin color or because of the sinfulness of the oppressor? And I think what Evan's trying to get at is critical race theory, intersectionality, cultural Marxism. Because that's what his generation is having to deal with. He is a teenager. He is a young man growing up in a very different world than I grew up in when I was a teenager, even though it was not very long ago, and where he lives is not very far from where I live. So, are there white people who are oppressed? Yes. Are there, what do you call them? Asian? I don't think you're supposed to say yellow. You're like when my dad grew up, I guess it was white people, yellow people, and black people. But now you can't say that. It was Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid. Listen, I don't care what gender you are or what color your skin is. There's women oppressed, men oppressed, and whites and blacks and whatever else, whatever other race you want to talk about. So when you ask a question like that, Evan, are black people oppressed? The answer is yes, but it's meaningless. Because everybody of all races are oppressed. The way you need to frame your question is, are black people oppressed in culture X because they are a disenfranchised minority and the structure of power is set against them? Is that racism, in other words, systematic racism? And I don't think we have a systematic racism problem in the United States in 2021. That's what I think. That's not my opinion from the Bible. That's my opinion from looking around. But what the cultural Marxist and the critical race theorist will say is, we have these structures in society, and society is always going to be inherently set against the minority in these intersections. So the white male is in power here. Therefore, the black man and the female is oppressed. And if you're a black female, you're even more oppressed. And if you're a black female homosexual, you're even more oppressed. That's intersectionality for you. Here's the thing. There's no critical race theorist in Liberia because people are too busy trying not to get killed. You see, in Liberia, everybody's black, and there's no reason they can't blame racism. It's just they have to deal with evil. And listen, their society is so torn apart. It's so torn apart. They don't have time to pay useless academics to sit around and come up with stuff like critical race theory, because critical race theorists in academia doesn't keep you fed, it doesn't keep you AIDS free, and it doesn't keep terrorists and thugs and gangs from killing you. But of course, the critical race theorist would probably say, well, Liberia was founded by slaves, and the slaves were inherently oppressed by the white man, so that's why they had to go to Liberia. It's all the white man's fault. Liberia is like that. But you can, listen, you can find some country somewhere where everybody's the same race and they oppress one another. You can't drill down to everything about ethnicity all the time. So when you take a look at things in the Bible tells you what the problem is: sin. Sin is the problem. And that people are under the power of the evil one, Their eyes are blinded. They're under the influence of the prince of the power of the air. The problem is sin. The solution is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we look at justice biblically. And I don't, when you look at justice biblically, it's not about race. It's so much more broad than that. So I think Evan was expecting me to say, oh no, black people aren't oppressed. Oh heck yeah, black people are oppressed all over the world. So what? People have been oppressed on every continent and every color throughout history. People tend to focus on what's going on in their here and now. We got to think about things systematically. Somebody asked me today, Seth, do you think what's going on in Afghanistan, you know, has anything to do with the end times? And I said, well, no. You'll hear about wars and rumors of wars. These are only birth pangs. You know, talking about Jesus said, you don't know when the end is near. And here's what I said to this person. I said, listen, this Afghanistan situation is nothing. It's not even really a war. Think of World War I, World War II. And people thought, oh, this is the end, or even Vietnam. This is a minor conflict, even in the timeline of our individual lives. So no, I don't think it has anything to do with the end times. On the grand scale of history, it's pretty insignificant. So when you think about something like critical race theory, Evan, yeah, it's significant to a bunch of liberals sitting around in some private school in Illinois with a picture of Barack Obama on their wall. But nobody had ever heard of critical race theory 100 years ago, and still people were being oppressed. I want you to think about this. When black people were actually being oppressed in the United States in a systematic way, because slavery was just a part of the founding of the United States. We have the 3/5 compromise in the Constitution, and that's about slavery. So you have a country being formed, and even before the country was formed, when we were a British colony, there was slavery. All right, and that's just America. Slavery is not unique to America, but what is unique about American chattel slavery is it was blacks. Blacks were slaves. You didn't have white slaves. Like in Paul's day, you had black slaves, white slaves. It doesn't matter. Slave wasn't based on color. But in America, black people were oppressed. And was it because of Christianity? Was it because of theology? It was because of science. They thought black, the science of the day, I'm talking the anthropology, the anthropologists of the day, the biologists of the day. I've learned this in college. This is what they thought. They thought that blacks were inferior in some way, that they ought to be enslaved because they weren't as good as the white people, genetically. And yeah, there's always like curse of Ham wingnuts out there theologically, but that's not a valid, and it's not a valid theological argument. Nor has it ever been an orthodox prevalent doctrine. We talk about the curse of Ham. So some people said the curse of Ham was being black. All right. So think about in the 1700s and 1800s where black people were systematically oppressed. They did not have the same protection of rights as white people from the government. Some of them were slaves. Blacks could be a slave, but whites couldn't. They didn't have critical race theory back there. People didn't talk about that. What was the bad sociology back then? The bad sociology was that blacks are inherently inferior. And sinful people kept them subjugated. Why? Because they had power over their labor. They had free labor on these people. Blacks worked and the slave owners got the money. And by the way, it helped white people in the North too, because their cotton clothes were made of Southern cotton. And in the Northern industrial economy, you'd have like Irish immigrants. Think of what's that book? By Upton Sinclair, The Jungle. Think about how well the immigrants who came in to work in these factories were treated. Not well. And they couldn't get better jobs because they came to America with nothing. Wasn't about their race. So the point I'm making, Evan, if you try to think of this logically, nobody in 1845 was talking about critical race theory. And in all the Civil War study done by historians from then till just, you know, 20 years ago, nobody thought critical race theory, intersectionality. No, it was sinfulness and wrong science, wrong anthropology, wrong sociology. What do we have now? We don't have any of that oppression anymore. We don't even have Jim Crow anymore. It's bad science to say a black person is inferior to a white person because of the color of his skin. It's always been bad theology because we've been always been made in the image of God, no matter what our color. But now the bad sociology is this critical race theory nonsense and intersectionality. And it's as unbiblical as the bad science of the racial times. But now this is how we explain it now. And listen, 100 years from now, they'll explain it different. I've told this story on the podcast before. I remember sitting in my anthropology class at the University of Georgia, I think my sophomore year. It would have been 2001 or 2002, depending on fall or summer semester. I remember the classroom was in the Grady School of Journalism complex, if you've ever been to UGA, so you know where LeConte is, and then you know where Sanford Hall is the business hall, and then the Terry School of Business, and then you cross the street down back towards the stadium, the other side of the street is the School of Journalism. So I'm one of these big theater classes taking anthropology, and I remember the PowerPoint. The professor's name was Brocious. He had a big mustache. And he's saying, and the anthropologists thought this. They thought, used to think Aborigines were like a different species. You're talking about like African people, not African, Australian Indians, the Aborigines and the Maoris. You know about them? They used to think they were a different species. Then they determined they're the same species, but they're inferior. And now it's been determined that they're humans just like us. Just like white Westerners. Just like the rest of us. And then they're trying to teach me about evolution and stuff, and Australopithecus and whatever else they got. And I'm sitting there thinking, you same academics would have told my granddad when he was in college something different than you're telling me, but the Bible said the same thing the whole time. Now, logically speaking, that doesn't make the Bible right. That doesn't make science bad. But common sense goes a long way. I think I'll stick to my Bible. So, critical race theorists, when you tell me that minorities are inherently oppressed by majorities because of power structures and all that, I don't see that in the Bible. I see sin being the problem. I see people of the same race oppressing one another. And the social Justinians, the wokists, they want to go to the Old Testament and say, look at all the social justice in the Old Testament. Look at the book of Amos. And I'd be like, that's Jews on Jews, bud. So kick your critical race theory out the window. That's Jews treating other Jews wrong. Where's the intersectionality difference there? And I know I don't speak a lot about cultural Marxism or intersectionality. You know why? Because I'm not an expert on it. I know what the Bible says. I'll tell you about that. I know that ideology. I know that ideology is unbiblical. I know it's untenable. I know it's novel, and I think it's stupid. And that gets us to asking questions like, well, are black people oppressed? What's it matter what color somebody is if they're oppressed? Just stop oppressing them. And as Forrest Gump said, that's all I've got to say about that. So hopefully I'll upload these shows sometime later. I don't know when I'll be back. I'm not going to work tomorrow. I'm working from home again. I don't know when I will be back, like I said. But I hope you enjoy these two non-full episodes of The Christian Commute. And God bless. Keep your questions coming to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. Oh, great. They got the Kona ice truck at my kid's school. That's where all my dollars are going. As always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved. God bless.
Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.